There are no lions. Dot are ancient alarms in a world without lions. It is common, these days, to wonder whether something is fundamentally wrong with us. The feeling arrives unbidden, a low-grade sense that the species itself is ill, that the culture has turned morbid, that the ordinary machinery of human life is grinding against itself in ways it did not used to. Headlines cycle through catastrophe and spectacle. Public figures stage increasingly transgressive displays. Everyday conversation carries an undercurrent of exhaustion or quiet dread. Many people report that it did not always feel this way. The most useful explanation is not that humanity has suddenly become diseased. It is that we are a species whose deepest protective systems evolved for a world that no longer exists, and those systems are now firing almost continuously at the wrong targets. For the overwhelming majority of our evolutionary history, human beings lived in small, mobile groups. Threats were concrete and immediate: a predator in the tall grass, a rival band on the ridge, a sudden shortage of food or water, the loss of a key ally. The physiological and psychological machinery that kept our ancestors alive was exquisitely tuned to those conditions. The stress response, rapid heart rate, narrowed attention, heightened vigilance, the cascade of cortisol and adrenaline was designed to mobilize the body for short, decisive action and then stand down once the danger passed. Status competition, coalitional aggression, disgust at injury or contamination, and intense focus on potential threats all conferred real survival advantages in that environment. Those same systems have not been rewritten. Genetic change is slow. Cultural and technological change is not. In a few short millennia, we moved from foraging bands to agricultural villages, then to cities, industrial economies, and finally to a globally networked information environment. The body still treats many modern stimuli as if they were lions or raiding parties. A push notification about distant violence, an algorithmic feed of outrage, a public figure covered in theatrical blood, statistical projection about climate or politics, each can trigger the ancient alarm. The difference is that the threat rarely resolves. There is no successful hunt or successful defense after which the system can return to baseline. The result is chronic, low-level activation, persistent anxiety, irritability, a sense of ambient menace, and the nagging conviction that the world has gone wrong. This mismatch helps explain why the present can feel uniquely disordered, even while many objective measures of human welfare have improved. Rates of violent death, extreme poverty, and certain forms of physical suffering have declined over the long term in large parts of the world. Life expectancy, literacy, and the sheer scale of peaceful cooperation are higher than in most of the historical record. Yet the nervous system does not take comfort in trend lines. It responds to salience. Modern media make every distant horror and every cultural excess locally vivid. Negativity bias, the ancient tendency to pay more attention to potential threats than to safety, is amplified by technologies that reward attention with more of the same. The result is a population that is, on average, safer and richer than its ancestors, yet often feels more besieged. The sense that it hasn't always been like this contains both truth and illusion. Earlier eras produced their own profound feelings of decline, decadence, and impending collapse. Chroniclers during plagues, writers in periods of religious upheaval, and cultural critics across centuries expressed versions of the same conviction that their time was uniquely broken. What has changed is the volume and velocity of information. We are the first generations to live with a near-constant feed of the species' failures, excesses, and darkest aesthetic experiments. That visibility makes the mismatch harder to ignore. None of this requires us to declare humanity terminally ill. The same evolutionary inheritance that produces tribalism, status obsession, and an appetite for the grotesque also produces cooperation, curiosity, empathy, and the capacity for self-correction. The fact that so many people can look at contemporary excesses, whether in media, politics, or celebrity culture, and feel a clear moral or aesthetic revulsion is evidence of the other side of our nature. We are not stuck with every impulse. We are, however, stuck with the architecture that generates those impulses, and with an environment that keeps pressing the old buttons. The discomfort is there for real. It is the predictable friction of an animal designed for one set of conditions trying to live in another. Understanding the source does not make the alarms quieter, but it does change their meaning. They are not proof that the species is sick. They are proof that the species is still running software written for a vanished world, now confronted with headlines instead of lions.